Simple Church, how are y'all doing? Come on, give me some light out here. Come on, how y'all feeling? Can you give it up for that band one more time, man? Come on, give them a little love. Great song. Great song. And this is the thing. It does set up exactly where we're going today. And I got to give a special shout out to Greg Walker. He is on graveyard shifts right now. So he has been up all night long serving the great city of Shreveport and made it through that song all the way through. Got one more service to go. Can you give him a little love, man, for serving our cities? Big deal, man. All right, so here's the deal. Good advice, bad advice. Remember, I want you to send it to me. Send me pictures, send me emails. If you run across something, if there's something someone has told you in the past that really has helped you or didn't really go so well, I want you to send it to me because I'm going to be showing them as we go through this series. So here are some that people have submitted. You ready for this? First one, this is it. If the shoe fits, buy it in every color from a kid. Can I get an amen now, women? See, there you go. This is what I'm looking for. If you find stuff out there, send it to me. But this is another good one, all right? Bill Murray. You remember Bill Murray? Whatever you do, always give 100% unless you're donating blood. There you go. This is the kind of stuff that really, good advice, bad advice. Here's some more on money, all right? This is it. Borrow money from a pessimist. They don't expect it back. See, all I need you to do is be looking out there. When you run across something, send it to me because it helps me. You're helping create the sermon. But this one I found on my own. This is pretty good marriage advice, right? Dating advice. Ready for this? Before you marry a person, you should first make them use a computer with slow internet so you'll really know who they are. Amen. Can I get an amen? We live in Benton, all right? So this is a very important thing for us because our family, oh my gosh, we have had no internet. So me and Angie, we have hollered, screamed, even cussed a little bit. So don't judge me. But that's the truth. All over the internet. So Will Ferrell is absolutely right. So those are some of the advice, but I also got to give everybody a happy Memorial Day as we kick off the summer and remember all of those who have served this great country for us. Can I get a little round of applause for all of them? Sacrifices, yes. You already know what it's all about. We played the video just to kind of get your mind right. And also, we know, again, there are tons of people serving around the world right now, keeping us safe, and we just want you to know that are watching. We have people in Iraq that watch. All around the globe. So to all of them, give them one more round of applause so they can hear. This is for you, every one of you. Because we know, man, a Memorial Day, it is remembering those who've given their life for us, but it is also a time to reflect and thank God for this great country we live in and the men and women who keep it safe. So thank you for doing that. So as we kick off into the summer too, because this is now the unofficial start of summer, I had another little bit of advice that came into me from Charlotte Gomez. She served with me in student ministry for a long time. One of my good friends, Brad Ewing, is here from down south. We grew up doing student ministry and having a lot of fun. So all these long-term relationships bring a smile to our face. And she thought through, again, all of those experiences and said, hey, here's one that you told me, Justin, and I have never forgotten it. I was like, I don't remember what I said. And she was like, this is it. You ready? If you go to a water park, don't wear denim. Can I get an amen now? Now, if you go, Justin, what are you talking about? Well, we're student ministry. We've taken kids all around the world. Bobby, me, Stuart, we've all done it. And in these journeys, you have kids, all right, students. They just went to Six Flags yesterday. Man, they had a great time. High school did. My kids went. They were all loving it. But one thing we learned is, as a student, they don't always think through a thing. So they would wear denim shorts to a water park. And this is what it looks like when you do that. Just so you have an image, it's called chafing, all right? So we would always laugh, and these kids are like, oh my gosh, my legs. I'm like, listen, dude, don't wear denim. Like, how can you be so silly? And some people would say, why in the world would a kid wear denim to a water park? Are you ready? Because they're more concerned with the way they look than they are about function. You remember this? And if you're a doubting adult in here and you're like, kids don't wear denim to the water park, I have a picture for proof. Look at this right here. You'd go, there's no way. Well, here's the deal. Don't judge them too quickly because all of us are a little concerned about what looks like, what the appearances are on the outside, not so much about really what's going on. And so this message, the reason I played the song to kind of get us going into it is especially in the church, everybody kind of plays the game. And we think as we're walking through this, and it's probably some truth to it, it's much easier to focus on the outside
than it is to deal with what's going on the inside. So on this Memorial Day weekend, as you're getting ready to go, kick off the summer, and as we're reflecting and remembering, I really want you to think about your journey. I don't want you to just go off and think of everybody else. I want you to kind of make it personal today. And I think about this for me. Sometimes in my life, I have found exactly this statement to be true. I am more worried about what's going on the way I look on the outside right now, a little heavier than I want to be going into the summer season, need to lose a little weight, still going bald, you know how it is. Had big old zit come up the other day. I'm like, good night, at 50 years old, when's it stop? Come on. You probably can relate because we have a tendency to focus on the outside. But as we're on this journey, we rarely deal with what's going on the inside. And this past year, we all know this, there's been a lot of talk about masks. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, we're going to bring it up again, brother. Well, yeah, here's something to just make you laugh. This is the best mask I've ever seen right here, right? That one would work. So this is crazy. But there's been a lot of mask talk over the past year and a half, all right? And by the way, we are now mask optional at Shreveport Convention Center. Can I get a little clap on that? You don't have to wear that if you don't want to. But if you need to, please, it's okay. I mean, if you still feel at risk, do not feel intimidated at all by that. Man, do what is comfortable for you. But this is the thing. We all know. We've been going through it. It's been difficult. Matter of fact, there's even been mask fights that I saw on the news at an unprecedented rate. You go, what are you talking about? This is an image. Fight breaks out on a plane because you're still on a plane or mass transit. You still have to wear a mask. Well, people now, I think we did the research. I think even Scott may have told me this, like 2,500 incidents on a plane in the last year alone. In a typical year, they had like 100. I mean, they're talking about now people are so aggravated. There's another picture, I think, that I can scroll to you. Yeah, they're literally fighting over this. Because everybody's so frustrated and we're so focused on the mask, the mask, the mask. And you've heard people say it all like, you're not going to make me wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. Well, here's the irony of all ironies to get your head right today. Do you realize that many of us choose to wear a mask every day and we've been doing it so long that it started way before the pandemic? And you're not near as upset about it. You don't even want to talk about it. As a matter of fact, you just kind of quietly do it. You wear a mask to work every week. You walk in, you mask up coming in. You're like, no, I don't, Justin. I'm a anti-masker. No, just hang with me. Some of us wear a mask. We go home, and we walk in the door, and, man, we're just going to mask up when we walk into our house. And worst of all, even when you come to church, you mask up. And how do we know this? Is because things like this. People will come in and they'll say, hey, how you doing? How was your week? Oh, I'm just blessed, brother. Oh, I'm so good. Everything's just praise the Lord. And the truth is, it wasn't a blessed week, and you're not praising the Lord. It's been a rough week. But you put on the mask of everything's all good. Maybe it is in your marriage. Maybe it is in your workplace. Maybe it is in your personal life. And yes, even in church. And so as I was thinking about when the mask, you know, got, you know, where it's optional in Shreveport Convention Center, and this talk started with me last week, I said, man, maybe I should do this message this week. When you talk about good advice or bad advice, let's talk about this and keep it real. You ready for this? To get well, here's some advice for you. You have to get real. Now, I know this is probably not a news flash for everybody in here, but maybe today you happen to be watching online or you happen to be watching in the room, which it looks like a great crowd. I saw it lit up, and I'm really thankful that you're here today because my prayer is that somehow, maybe through the motivation of this message, you will go, man, it's time to get well. I am going to deal with the stuff that's going on inside of me, and I'm not going to mask up any longer. I'm not going to play the game anymore. I'm going to get real. And I'm going to be very transparent about whatever it is, whether it's marriage, whether it's finances, whether it's an addiction, whether it's your past. Because this is the thing. We can't get well until we get real. There's been a lot of talk about masks and the pandemic and, man, we got to do this to get well and to get back to normal. And all of that goes on, and we can relate now. But let me go ahead and give you a news flash. It's not going to be back to, quote, normal if you don't get real. If you don't go, you know what? I need to be at my best. I want to have the best marriage. I want to have the best life. I want to experience what God really wants me to experience. What I have learned and am continuing to learn is when people refuse to be honest, it's impossible. It just hangs over you. And you play the game, and eventually it falls apart. It breaks up. And probably the biggest, you know, example is when I think back to why would I not be real? There's one word. Why would I as a pastor not tell you what was going on or work through something going on in my life? Are you ready for this? It's called the mask of pride. We have this mindset of going right now, it's like, hey, listen, man, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to tell you. I don't have any issues. I don't need any help. I'm fine. Leave me alone. When the truth is, and you and I both know this, come on, man. We're not. But our pride keeps us from admitting that. It keeps us from getting the help that we need, whether that's through friends, or whether that's through counseling, whether that's through a pastor. And so we kind of play the game, we keep playing the game, and man, it just was rocky. And we get worse and worse and worse. And as I look back and I really reflect on relationships I've learned from, mistakes I've seen other people make, my own personal mistakes, I remember this word pride. Because pride really does get all of us. No one's exempt from it. And then when you look at Scripture, this is the part that will really trip you out. Proverbs 16:5, you ready for this? The Lord hates. Now, my mom used to, don't ever say hate, Justin. You know, hate ain't good for anybody. Don't say hate. We don't hate anybody. Well, I'm going to tell you, this ain't no make-believe here. The Lord hates those who are proud. The Scripture talks over and over again about God and His relationship saying, hey, if there's one thing He hates, is when you and I are so prideful that we won't admit our mistakes. I'm good. I don't need anything. Leave me alone. Proverbs continues, 8:13. I hate pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and twisted speech. If you want to know where God is on this issue, it's pretty clear. And one of the things that was most shocking when you start thinking about pride is we can look in the Bible and we see all kinds of examples of it. We know it kind of in our current world. Man, I'm not going to admit my weakness. I'm going to put on the mask. How's everything going? Oh, it's good. How's your marriage? Oh, great. How's your finances? Couldn't be better. You go through all of this, and the reason why is we're prideful. We do not want someone to know that it's not the way that it could be. And so as we're walking through that, we put on this facade or this act, and we just walk around, and truthfully, it's tearing us up on the inside. Well, in Scripture, there was a group of people called the Pharisees. They were the religious people. They were the ones that knew everything, the best of the best. They knew all the rules. They kept all the rules. They did everything that they could to put on the appearance of, I got everything going right. But the truth was, they were doing it for the wrong reasons. Now, this is thousands of years ago, and Jesus comes into this religious culture, and He calls it like it is. He would see the Pharisees, and He knew that the reason they went to church is so that they would be seen going to church. Hey, I'm here. Hey, brother. Hey. Oh, yeah, good to see you. Bless you. God bless you, brother. Oh, yeah. Didn't matter. That's their whole point. Be seen. The second thing that they did, he looked and watched how when they prayed, they wanted to be heard. So they would pray these elaborate prayers. Oh, yes, Lord. And they'd go on these things. They'd stand on the street corner so everybody could hear it. They even helped the poor, but the reason that they would help the poor was to be praised. So they would go, hey, I'm going to go to church to be seen, I'm going to pray to be heard, and I'm going to go help the poor. Not because they knew that that's what God called them for. No, it was because they wanted to, again, put on the appearance of, we're doing everything we're supposed to do. And I kept thinking about all of us in this modern generation. Now, it's pretty similar. Some of us come to church to be seen. Some of us pray to be heard. Some of us help people just to be praised. And the reason that I check myself and the reason I'm walking through this now is because the last thing I want for us is to be like Pharisees. The last thing I want for the Simple Church and our reputation and you as a person and the way that you're walking through with your friendships and your families and your kids seeing you is to play the religious game because I really don't like it. The reason Simple Church exists because I'm like, dude, I'm done with church the way I used to know it. I'm done with the politics part of it. I'm done with the pretending part of it. I'm done with the, hey, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. I'm done with all of the games of putting on, you know, these perceptions of dressing up and acting like everything's good. When the truth was, we're trying our best 14 years ago to start to go, dude, let's keep it real. And trust me, when I tell you about keeping it real, God has challenged us that and showed us that on every person in our staff, in the relationships that we have, because it hasn't been easy. It's been difficult because life is difficult. And some people think, well, the church staff doesn't have anything and pastors don't experience anything. I'm like, trust me, bro, you know us. You know some of, if not all of our mistakes. And they're not good ones. We know people have failed. We know people have made mistakes. We know that there have been choices that we're like, oh my gosh, how are we going to get through this? But here's the thing. As we're navigating all the mistakes and the failures and the shortcomings, as we're kind of walking through that, we don't want to fake it. We're going, hey, dude, this is a tough situation. That's a struggle. And why would we do that? Why would we talk about that? Now, do we parade that or tell everybody's personal story in detail on stage? Not till they're ready. But on occasion, you have heard some of those stories because they're at the point now through counseling and through walking through their relationship with Christ and through reconciliation with the people they may have offended. It is now time to go, hey, here's our story and here's what we can learn from it. Because what we know is it's not good to fake it. Dude, we're done with faking it. We're tired of faking it. It doesn't help you and it doesn't help the church and it helps no one you come in contact with. And so here was the Pharisees. Go back. They were really good at faking it. They were really good at playing the game. And Jesus steps in and goes, let me tell you what I hope for this generation, me and you, pastors, staff, people who attend church, this is what I hope for. Look at this, Matthew 23. The Pharisees, Jesus tells them, you're blind. He comes at them pretty hard. He goes, why are you saying? Here's the thing. He says, first, you have to make the inside of the cup clean and good. Then the outside of the cup will also be clean. So what is he saying? I'm not worried about your appearance. I'm telling you, check your heart. Jesus is like, I know the religious cultures made you dress up. And man, they had some garbs they wore and hats and all this whole big thing. And they were doing everything, showing up at church. Remember, I already told you, praying these big prayers, helping the poor. And Jesus is going, I see through all of that. Because, dude, you're blind to your own actions. You think you're doing good, but you're not. Jesus continues when he says this. He says, people look at you and think you're godly. Now, evaluate yourself. Oh, man, she's so godly. They're so good. They think they are, right? But on the inside, where nobody else really can see, you're full of hypocrisy and evil. Jesus was calling it like it is. It would be like him showing up today and he'd be like walking around looking at us and going, okay, man, you got on your good outfit. Now you sure, sure. Okay, you cool. But you know you ain't right. I mean, he's going, hey, you know you're wearing a mask, right? Now, again, when you look at Jesus, he handled different people different ways. And one of the things that I really, really love about Jesus is that he really was angry or upset with religious people. If they were a sinner, if they were an outsider, if they were, remember the woman caught in adultery, you can go through the worst of the worst. Jesus was very compassionate. Remember Zacchaeus? He wouldn't hung out with him at his house with all these sinners, and everybody was beating him up. But who he came at and who he got strong with was the church leaders, the religious Pharisees. And here's the thing. Most of us in the South have a lot of religion. We got Catholic, we got Methodist, we got Baptist. I grew up this, I was baptized, I know all this stuff. But then the truth is, what you're putting out for everyone to see is not the reality of what's going on the inside. Because we learned at an early age, just like the Pharisees, play the game. Smile, give them the thumbs up, walk through it, fake your way, fake it till you make it. Jesus comes in and says, hey, you know what I'm really worried about? Your inner life is way more important than your outer life. I am more concerned with what's going on the inside than I am of anything that's going on the outside. I'll prove it to you, Matthew 5:8. God blesses those people whose hearts are pure. So here's my advice for you. You go, Justin, you got any advice? Yeah, I got some. This is what I'm working through. This is what I want you to know, that as we're navigating this crazy world we've been living in, this is what I'm still working on. Ask yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you get up and come to church? Why do you give, if you give at all? Why do you volunteer? Why do you serve? Really check yourself and go, hey, man, I'm doing it because I'll feel guilty if Justin knows I'm not serving. If I'm not coming to church, I'll just feel guilty. I'll feel horrible. Not a good place. Why are you praying? Why are you attending? Why are you serving? Why are you helping? Go through everything. Look in your whole life. When you start looking at this, here is good. Why are you doing what you're doing? Check your heart. Are you being nice to get something from somebody? Because God knows that. Hey, look, I'm just going to have to be real nice, because if I'm not real nice, then I won't get what I want. Are you working hard to prove something to somebody? It's not about God. It's not about your relationship. About God, I'm going to do everything I can today to honor you with everything that I have. No, it's like, man, I got to work hard, because then I can prove myself to this person or that person. Why are you going to church? Why are you serving? You want applause? Do you have to have somebody to tell you, hey, you know what? No, I've been serving in the preschool ministry for 10 years and never got a thank you card. I've been there. I've served on staff, and I would work on staff and think, man, nobody ever recognizes me for what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, God's going to check your heart. Is it about me, or is it about you needing the recognition, Justin? See, because I'm not any different than you. We all struggle, and the pride thing comes on us. And as you're working through this, you got to get back and go, God, why am I doing this? Colossians 3 gives us some good advice. You ready for this? Whatever you do, so I don't care if you're in the retail world, I don't care if you're in the banking world, I don't care what world, medical field, police work, you ready? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Working on the inside, working for the Lord, not for human masters. Man, we've all been there. It's like, hey, listen, I just got to grind through this. I just got to do what I got to do, and blah, blah, blah. And then God's going, no, you don't. Listen to me. I want you to get up this day, and I want you to work at whatever you have been given to do as if you're working for me. Take the boss out of the picture. Take the company out of the picture. Take everything out and go, hey, Jesus, this is between me and you. Let me honor you with everything that I do today. In the way that I treat people, regardless of whether they treat me right, regardless if they give me credit or not, help me, God, to put my focus on you and to work for you. And you and I both know it is not easy to be honest with yourself. It is not easy to say, you know what, dude, I'm kind of dirty on this. I don't know if I got this right. But it's always worth it when you remember that God has a promise connected to your honesty, to your transparency, to you looking and say, why am I doing this? I'm going to bring it back up. Remember Matthew 5:8. God blesses those whose heart is pure, the people who have a pure heart. So if you go, Justin, all right, well, what's the advice today? All right, this is it. Here's some more good advice. Take off the other mask. Be so mad about this other mask, just like you've been on the pandemic mask. You've been posting on it. Oh, my God, I got the right to blah, 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 blah. Nobody, blah, blah. Okay, but in the meanwhile, ironically, for maybe 20, 30 years, you've been putting on a mask every day, and you ain't fighting for the right to take it off. You're fighting for the right to keep it on. So if you want to keep it real, let's go back to this moment when we finally are getting there. When we got the news that we could take off the mask during the pandemic, this is what our face looked like. You remember that? You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest. When it finally is optional, when you finally maybe get vaccinated, or you finally go, hey, man, we can do that. There's some relief associated with that. Especially when it comes to church. Everybody's like, oh, I ran across this little billboard, which I thought was hilarious. I want to be like Saul. I want to be on the road to Damascus. That's church humor at its worst, right? But pretty good. But that's the whole thing. You're like, man, I just want to take it off. I just want to be demasked. It feels better, doesn't it? I mean, you take it off, you're like, this is great. Well, let me just give you some really good news. When you take off the other mask, you think it feels good to take the pandemic mask off? Do you really feel free when you take off that other mask? You finally get to be who you are, and you know you're fully loved, fully accepted, fully forgiven. When you can go, man, I'm just going to be transparent and be real. Here's where I am. And if you go, man, is this really something that the scripture talks about? Justin, are you just kind of trying to tie together something's going on in culture? No, listen, man, I'm living it. I have seen it. I have served with it. I have walked through it. And I have seen in Scripture some great examples. And you go, well, Justin, what do you mean? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We refuse to wear a mask. And most people, I'm surprised we didn't see this during the pandemic. There's Scripture on it, brother. I found it. Just look at the context. You ready? We refuse to wear a mask and play games. We keep everything we do and say out in the open. The whole truth on display. You know what the writer's saying here? He was walking through a culture where they were playing games. The Pharisees were in control. The games were to be played in the church, and they're coming back, and he's going, hey, let me tell you, as he's writing the letters, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, he's going, hey, let me tell you who we are as believers. We don't play no games. We're broken. We're hurt. We are sinners. We have made mistakes, but we serve a God who accepts us and who forgives us and gives us a fresh start. You don't have to play the game any longer. Man, you refuse to wear a mask. Let's keep it real. We are not perfect people. We have issues that we have to deal with. And we're all tempted to cover it up. What are you saying? Because it's embarrassing. It's hurtful. It's ugly. All of those things are going on. And these writers, Paul was writing on, he was a Jewish guy. He understood the culture. He knew that in the Old Testament, there was a guy by the name of David who had an affair. And in the middle of his affair, was so guilty about that. He had lusted after Bathsheba. He knew, oh man, every day he'd go out and watch her take a bath. Like, man, all right, okay, all right, okay. Shouldn't be doing that, David. Yeah, but look at her. Some of you still have the same issues. An affair, something you're looking at. It's like over and over again. Man, I know it, but look, I look. Next thing you know, he's caught in it. Pursues it. Takes the next level. And she's married. And so what does he have to do? He has to cover it up. So he kills her husband. Sends him into battle so that he'd be murdered, so he'd be taken out, so he don't have to deal with it. So he puts on this mask. He's trying to be the great king, and there's nothing wrong with me, and man, I hate that you lost your husband. But now it just happens to work out, Bathsheba, you can be with me. And the truth is, God was going, man, I'm seeing through every bit of it. When they walked around, David and Bathsheba, hey, it's all good. But David knew in his heart something was wrong. And this is what I want to remind you. You can try to fake it. You can try to play the game. But God knows this. And what does he do? He takes his hand off of you. You go, what are you talking about? Well, here's the thing. There's consequences. So when you're living for God, man, you're blessed. You have the things going in your direction. He has a way to go, hey, man, I see your heart. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk you through this. But when you go, I don't care. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to put my pride on. Remember, he hates pride. And God says, I can't bless the mask, man. I can't bless you playing the game. So this is why in church history, modern church history, extended church history, how do these pastors that are so smart and so amazing and so blessed by God have such huge falls? Because they got the mask on. I grew up with it. I would watch it. My mom watched Jimmy Baker. I watched Jimmy Swagger. My mom and them knew all of these people. How do you keep? Because we're playing the game, just like many in the church play the game. And God's going, God, I hate when people play the game. Let's just keep it real. Let's just be honest. Let's deal with it. So just so you know, in the simple church, I bet the statistics right now on our staff is 95% of the staff is in counseling. And some of you go, I need to find another church, brother. No, what you might need to do is, where are you getting your counseling? Because what we learned is to play the game keeps us sick. So if we want to get well, we got to get real. And the only way you're going to get real is to take off the mask and go, hey, man, I'm struggling. I need some help. And so what we've learned in 14 years is there have been times when different people have still tried to play the game. And guess what? Luke 12 tells you what will happen. Hang on. You ready? Everything that is hidden will be shown, and everything that is in secret will be made known. It will be made known. Nobody will ever know about this. No one will ever know my problem. Nobody will ever know this. I'm just going to just keep doing what I'm doing. But the truth is, it all comes out sooner or later. And God's going, because I love you, I want you to know, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be free. Remember the pandemic.
I'm just being controlled. Nobody gonna control me.
And you're controlled by your sin. But you ain't near as mad about it. You're controlled by your pride, but you ain't near as mad about it. Because it's comfortable now. As a matter of fact, you've worn the mask so long, you don't even realize you're wearing it. And so today, maybe, is a chance to go, I got to get real. My addiction is real. My pain is real. My hurt is real. And what I got to do is accept it. The first step to recovering, to being healthier, is to accept responsibility. This is what's so great about Jesus. He's like, hey, listen, man, I love you. I care about you. And I am telling you, you have to get to the place where you go, I own that. That's me. What I've seen in our staff, what I have seen in my friendships, what I have seen in my life is when you refuse to, you're miserable. But when you do, you begin to experience freedom, relief. And David even wrote it. You ready? Psalm 51. I've been out of step with you for a long time, God. But what you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me, then conceive a new, true life. We've played the song before. We wrote a song, me and Greg, many, many years ago called Creating Me, based on Psalm 51. Created me a new heart. God, changed me. Why? Because at that time, we were still struggling. We're leading worship. I was like, oh, they're leading worship. Oh, they're so good. And the reality was we were jacked up, making mistakes. And God was speaking to us just like he's speaking to David. Hey, listen, man, I've been out of step for a long time, man, but what you need is truth from the inside out. So when Simple Church has been started, our goal, our push, our desire is not to play games, not to get involved in politics, but to be honest and truthful about us so that you would see pastors and leaders who go, dude, they're not perfect. They're far from it. But we're looking for, leaning into the grace and the forgiveness that is found in Jesus. And we're learning you can't overcome anything that you won't admit. You can't overcome it. You can't get there. It's just you're stuck. Now, you know how I love to look, use culture. You know I love to use things that we can see and know and go, man, I can relate. I can relate. I got a good one for you today. Matter of fact, he's been in the news a little bit. I don't know how well he's doing right now, good or bad. But let me tell you, when I saw this interview, I thought, you talking about accepting responsibility? You talking about dealing with the truth? You talking about trying to get to freedom? This guy's story's been out in the public. And this guy's story is something you might be able to go, man, I can relate. But listen close to what he says. Listen close to the mask. Listen close to how long it's been going on. And listen to how he's fighting to keep it real. And to keep it real and to be honest, on national TV, you don't have to do that. But I was pretty impressed with the way he did it. Watch.
I thought, you know, I want to just drink like a normal person, and I want to have wine at dinner and so on. And I was able to. I was able to for about 8 years.
But he says he learned that sooner or later, your vulnerabilities can find you.
I started to drink more and more and more, and it was really hard for me to accept that meant I was an alcoholic. I was like, I can just go back. I was fine before. You know, I just need to take a break. I just need to slow down. I'm okay. You know what I mean? This isn't me. And I start to drink every day. And I come home from work and I start to drink, and I just sit there and drink till I pass out on the couch.
Those years spent directly under the glare of the spotlight.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Kept a kind of balance as he married Jennifer Garner, the beloved actress, and had 3 children. But as years went by, there was rockiness in his marriage. 2 times in the last 3 years, he went to rehab, always worried that his drinking was affecting the children at the center of his life.
I really don't want my children to pay for my sins. For me, seeing my dad was just, he was drunk every day, and that was just life. Then as that got worse, that was really, really painful. And I always said, that'll never be me. I'm never going to do that. I wish he had been sober during those formative years, but what he's taught me is how important it is for me to be sober now during these formative years for my kids.
He says his mother was his rock, but as his family broke apart, he vowed never to repeat it.
What was the hardest thing for you to be honest with yourself about?
That I was going to get divorced. That I never thought I was going to get divorced. I didn't want to get divorced. I didn't want to be a divorced person. I really didn't want to be a split family with my children. And it upset me because it meant I wasn't who I thought I was. And that was so painful and so disappointing.
In yourself?
In myself. You know, there are things that I would love to go back and change. I have regrets. I made plenty of mistakes, some big, some small. I wish I could go back time and change all kinds of things, but I can't. I'd like to find some sort of sense of meaning and purpose, you know? I was not raised religious. I'm not a very good Christian, although I go to church with my kids because it was important to Jennifer, and now I go too, and I like it quite a bit.
And he says a wake-up call about the dad he is determined to be.
I took the last half of the year off, and I just got to be dad. Drive him to school, pick him up, go to the swim meet. That's where the parenting happens. It's in the cracks. It's in the moments where you're just taking them back from soccer, and they say something profound, or they talk about how they're really feeling about something, and it's like that's where you get to be the parent. That's the joy of it, and that's what I don't want to miss.
He says with sobriety, he can now understand more about the anxieties and the depression. And with his new movie sending a message of hope and a reminder, if you need help, you are not alone.
1, 2, 3.
My favorite scene in this movie, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, is where my character loses his job, because it's really about consequences. And you understand how desperate he is to not have to suffer those consequences and how painful that can be.
The reason I love the video, you see, at the very beginning, he says, it was difficult for me to accept the reality, the responsibility. It was difficult for me to accept that I was going to be divorced. It was difficult for me to accept that I was an alcoholic. And as you're walking through that, there may be something that you're dealing with that you're going, man, I can relate to what he's talking about. Psalm 51 continues, and this is why I long for it, pray for it, hope for it. It says, going through the motions doesn't please you. Going through the motions here doesn't please God either. A flawless performance is nothing to you. So it's not about getting it right and being perfect. David says, I've learned that God worship is when my pride was shattered. This is when I said, okay, listen. I'm done. I'm not looking for like the latest, greatest song. Oh, have you heard this song, brother? No, what he's looking for is not your ability to like or dislike a song or to raise your hands or not raise your hands. What he's looking for is when a group of people says, man, my pride is out of the way. It is shattered, and I want to be real with you. He already knows. Psalm 139 taught us this even as a kid. We've talked about it at dedication and everything else. He knows you inside and out already. That's the facts. This is what he says. And here's the thing, a newsflash. It is not about perfection today. It is not like, well, I got to be perfect. I got to get everything right. No, it's about honesty. Romans 5. God has shown us how much he loves us. How is while you were still a sinner, while you're in this room messing up, in your addiction, making all kind of mistakes, God loves you, has died for you, and by his blood, he is now putting you right with God. That's how much he loves you. He's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for you to go, you got to get everything right, and then I'll love you. No, he's saying, no, by you saying, I am a sinner, I have messed up, I need forgiveness, I need grace, I'm tired of playing the game, my pride is shattered, God says, man, that's who I'm looking for. And unfortunately, in the church, it's not always accepted, because we kick people out because of their mistakes. We turn our back on them. We talk about them. We make fun of them. We belittle them because of their struggle. We ostracize them. We separate. Oh, he's an addict. Oh, you can't be. Oh, he struggles with that. She struggles. No way. They can't be in the church. And the crazy part of that is, that's not scripture. He is so full of grace and forgiveness and a fresh start and a new beginning. You need to be reminded today. And while you're working for it, while you're serving and going, all right, God, I want to work for you. I want to honor you. He says, this is my promise. Remember Matthew 5:8. I'm going to bless you when your heart's pure. Not when you're perfect, when you're honest. So I want to pray for you, and then I'm going to give you one video to walk out with to kind of lift your spirits. Because right now you're going, "Poof, man, you just punched me all in my gut." I know. God, I pray that as we feel this little punch that comes into us, as we realize we have worn mask ourselves, I pray, God, that you would remind us how much you love us and that you see us and you know us inside and out and you fully accept us, that you died for us, even in our worst condition, so that we can have a fresh start, a new beginning. And God, help us not to fall into religion or fall into church, but fall into a relationship with you. And as we do that, then we'd work in our job for you. We would raise our families for you. We would work on our marriage for you. We would go, "All right, God, help me do everything that I do for you today, not for church, not for recognition, not for a pat on the back, but God, so that I would honor and please you." Because in my honesty, God, that's when I find freedom. When I say, "God, forgive me, come into my life," that's when you enter and you change us. Help people to receive that free gift today. Help them, God, to walk out of here different. And to know that when we do, it won't be perfect, it won't be easy, but we will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on. You need one more video. All right, one more video. Justin, does God really bless honesty? Steve Hartman came back off vacation. Oh, he did. And he said, "Justin, you talking about on honesty and being blessed?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Watch this. Watch."
Of all the things a little girl can aspire to be, 11-year-old Charlotte McCourt of South Orange, New Jersey says the most important of these is to be truthful.
Yes, it's like a core feeling.
Why so important to you?
Because if you're not honest, then what are you?
Charlotte says the first 8 words of the Girl Scout law are, "I will do my best to be honest." So when it came time to peddle her Girl Scout cookies this year, she decided to tell her customers the whole truth. In this letter to one customer that went viral on the internet, she wrote, "The Girl Scout organization can sometimes use false advertisement." She then graded the cookies. She gave the Do-Si-Do a 5 for its unoriginal, bland flavor, while saving most of her venom for the dreaded Toffee-tastic. She gave it a 1 for being a bleak, flavorless, gluten-free wasteland. "It's as flavorless as dirt," she wrote.
My sister and I threw out the box. Like, we tried everything. We tried dunking it in tea. We tried dunking it in hot chocolate. It is just gross.
Aww. Would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies?
As you might expect, brutal honesty like that can have a dramatic impact on sales. Charlotte was hoping to sell 300 boxes this year.
Is that all?
But she got nowhere near that. Nowhere near.
That's you?
That is all me.
When we visited last week, she had already sold more than 23,000 boxes. A Girl Scout record.
How do you explain this?
Truth in advertising.
Apparently, honesty has become such an aberration.
See, look.
The truth so sadly missed that when all these people read Charlotte's letter, they felt compelled to support her.
I sold thousands of Samoas and thousands of Thin Mints.
Have you sold any Toffee-tastics?
To my grandmother.
It was before Charlotte wrote the letter.
Just one box.
So then she gave them to her friend who...
Who has a dog?
Who has a gluten allergy.
Okay.
So there is your hope, America, that even in a world of fake news and alternative facts, honesty can and will prevail.
Come on, y'all! Thank you, Steve Hartman, man. I hope you have a great Memorial Day. Tell me your story. Email me, please. Download the app and communicate with us. If you prayed the prayer to receive Christ today, you need a fresh start, tell us about it. We love you. Until next week, what do we say? Peace! Thanks for coming.